John 10:1-18. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep, the flock, and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord.
If you have the talk outline with you, really great to open that up or scan the QR code. Let me pray and I'll pause at the end so we can quiet ourselves before we hear from God. Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would take these words of life and truth that we hear with our ears and move them into our hearts and souls so that we can live as your people following the way of Jesus. Amen. So we're spending time this year as we begin looking at the I am statements of Jesus, listening carefully to what he says so that we can get to know the God we follow, so we can be loving him, loving people, and making disciples. And so far, we've looked at two of the I am statements. It's not working. Firstly, we saw Jesus is the bread of life and he sustains us spiritually. Next, we saw Jesus as the light who guides us to live God's ways. And today, we actually have a two for one, because I don't know if you picked it up, but Jesus is the gate and the good shepherd. He's the one who saves us through his death, who leads us by his voice, and keeps us secure in his flock. But let's get us thinking, and I want you to do some conversation with those around you. I want you to ask the person next to you and discuss, what do you think makes a good leader? So that's it. There's no more context. What do you think makes a good leader? 30 seconds. I'll draw you back in just a moment. What makes a good leader? Just bounce it off with those next to you. Back in 2025, A survey was done and it said 75% of those in the workforce felt disengaged, disappointed, unproductive, and unseen at work. And do you know what the biggest factor to those 75% feeling that way was? Leadership. 75% of Aussies reckon those above them in their workplace are doing a lousy job. We have a deep longing for leaders who genuinely care, who will guide us to make a difference, who hear us and understand us. In fact, many of us carry around, and if you're a bit older, I'm sure you can reflect back on your working years and you can see the wounds or the scars or just the pain that a boss or a parent or even a pastor who didn't protect, who didn't lead like they should have, and how that's affected you. And I know, as a pastor in a church, that I've not always led like Jesus would have, and I'm grieved and sorry for those times when that takes place. Because the church, of all places, should be a beacon of hope in this space. And this is why John 10 is such good news for us. Because Jesus, he's speaking of shepherds and gates and sheep, and is using them as figures of speech to help us understand how he's the good leader from God who cares about people. And he does whatever it takes, even giving up his own life, to seek out their welfare. And that's the big idea from John 10. Jesus is the good leader who lays down his life for our fullest life. And the simple reason is because God cares. God actually cares about you. And so today, as we work through this, I hope you will embrace the life of a sheep and find security under his good leading. So we'll take this in three sections: the parable, the gate, and then the shepherd, and then comment about today. So first part is the parable in verses 1 to 6. Jesus is, in the context of John 10, speaking to the Pharisees from last week. They were the ones who were blind to God's light and work in chapter 9, verse 41. They are the leaders who have abandoned and isolated, in particular, this once blind man who can now see because he has faith in Jesus. They cast him out, they rejected him, they abused him. But also around this are crowds of people who saw Jesus open the eyes of someone blind, and they think in 10 verse 20, he's satanic. And others, they'll say, well, no, he's not, because demons can't do this. And so there's big debate about the crowd saying, who is this person? And the Pharisees, who are these horrible leaders who are not leading people to God's goodness. And into that context, with those bookends, Jesus comes in and says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. You can see the parallels from chapter 9 here. Because the blind man is isolated and vulnerable, but then Jesus now creates community. The Pharisees have abandoned people and they take advantage of them, but Jesus anchors care in the knowledge of God and in laying down his life. Here is a leader who genuinely cares. And what he does is he picks up images that are well known to the people around him, not just because of shepherd and sheep in an agrarian society, but particularly there's an Old Testament thread that runs through here, which picks up on how Jesus is the good leader that God's people have been looking for. For example, Psalm 23 is a famous psalm where God is to be the shepherd of his people, looking after them through dark valleys, protecting them. Isaiah chapter 40, particularly verse 11, God's nature is to be gentle and caring. But unfortunately, in the Old Testament, you see abuses of people in leadership. Jeremiah 23 and famously Ezekiel 34 remind us of the brutal, harsh leaders that sometimes hover over God's people. And Jesus saw a continuation in the past with these Pharisees. He saw how they put the blind man out the synagogue and it left him vulnerable. And they are the thieves and robbers in this story. Jesus saw how God's people lacked a shepherd who would not only give sight and vision, but care about each of them individually with a voice that resonates so they can follow him and find life. Now, in Jesus' day, what a shepherd would often do is he would sound out to his own sheep in a mixture of them. And the shepherd's voice would go out and all the sheep would hear that tone and they would come plodding out and find their shepherd. And so when there's lots of sheep together, the shepherd would only have to say, "Come here, sheep." And the sheep would know the sound of that voice and go with him. And that shepherd would then lead them into a life of well-being and care. And that's a picture of what Jesus has done for the once blind man. That's what he's explaining. But of course, in verse 6, the Pharisees don't understand this figure of speech simply because they don't hear Jesus' voice. They aren't one of his sheep yet. And then Jesus clarifies for us, because maybe they can become sheep. Maybe they have a moment in which they might amend their ways and follow Jesus. And then he explains it for them and gives the first "I am" by saying, "I am the gate." The image is quite easy to understand. There are some mixed metaphors. The gate is Jesus. He is the way into God's pasture and field. The shepherd is also Jesus. The image changes, but get this. He's the way in and the leader of God's people. And the sheep? Well, that's you and me. That's those Jesus calls. The thieves, the robbers, the wolves, these are the Pharisees. These are anyone who harms the sheep. And even today, they still exist. They steal. They're violent. They're deceptive. They're dangerous to have around. They're only interested in the sheep for their gain, what the sheep can give them. And these kinds of leaders are not the influence that we need in our life. Because in verse 9, Jesus is the gateway to salvation and to the God who cares for them. Of course, to call yourself a gate, it seems a little bit anticlimactic. Out of all the "I ams," it seems to be the one that's most kind of simple. But it shows how the heart that Jesus has and the capacity and authority to save the lost. See, here is a God who goes out of his way to restore people into a relationship with himself. Jesus offers us a way out from under fake, false, harmful leadership, from the evil shepherds who harm, to the good shepherd and his way of living. This is an image of peace and hope, of fullness and wellness. And in the words of Jesus in verse 10, it's life to the full. This is a life that recognizes Jesus is our good leader and that his ways are good as well. One of the common threads through every single one of the "I am" statements is how Jesus is the source of what we need. He takes the image like a piece of bread or light or a gate, but it's in him who is life to the full. He is the one who is the fulfillment of them. Like a life not in chaos, a life not anxious, a life not hunted or barely surviving. Under his care, we find the relationship with God of peace and purpose, contentment and love, not dependent upon your circumstance. And it's all grounded in the shepherd who gives us his life because he gave it up in verse 11. You see, better than we imagine, Jesus offers us a good, full life. This is not good defined by your Instagram feed or what you think is good, but by God. We might say lots of things are good and approve of them. I would say bananas are good, mangoes are not good, and Adelaide is heaps good. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. But when it comes to God, the very character of God, the one of perfect unity and essence and being, when he uses the word good, it is not subjective to your tastes. For example, we might be wise, but God is wisdom. We might be holy, but God is holiness. We might do good or be good in moments, but God is the very definition of good and what is good, and good is what he defines and approves. He was 25 when he wrote this, but he's long gone now. George Swinnick says, "God cannot give us anything greater than himself. The infinite God is ours. Perhaps we are without honors or family or friends or liberty or peace or health or strength, but God is ours. He is more than all these things, and he is ours." And as the gate, Jesus is the way into God's flock so we can live in God's pasture and find that kind of life. In him, Do you want that life? Do you have that life? Come to Jesus. He is the gateway into it. But he's not just the gateway, is he? He draws on another image to really press home his care of the people that come to him. I am the good shepherd who gathers people so they can enjoy the love and the blessing and the safety of God. Not only do we see those famous verses about the leaders who failed and God's goodness in the Old Testament, but often kings, when they were caring and focused on the people of God, they were often called shepherds. But the trouble with a good shepherd king in the Old Testament or even today is when the king dies, their reign ends and the protection ends with them, and you've opened yourself up for wolves and harmful leaders to come next. But notice how Jesus redefines what a good shepherd king does by his death. It's dying that makes him the good shepherd, verse 11. Because his death is not the end of his leadership and care. And Amanda explained it for us with the hired hand, but the hired hand is just interested in the sheep for some sort of gain. They abandon them when there's a wolf and run away, verse 13. And the simple reason is they don't own the sheep. The owner cares. The owner goes the distance, verses 14 to 18. Jesus is the great carer of his people. His care is what we continually need. But what enables him to be this good shepherd isn't just laying down his life, but his relationship with the Father and the ability to bring it back, verse 15. Because Jesus' own care comes from the very tender heart of God, a heart that says, I'll be the substitute for the sheep. A heart that says, I will go out to the lost and the hurting and the lonely and bring them in to find home. He is the shepherd who lays down his life to protect the sheep, which seems odd because if the shepherd goes, how do you protect the sheep from the wolves? But he does that to make them one flock, not scattered, but finding life in him under his loving rule and care. Which means our relationship to Jesus and his to us is a reflection of the intimacy that he has with his Father. Which means knowing God and Jesus' care and his death are all bound together. We're brought into a relationship of welfare and intimacy with God through Jesus. And because of the love that God and Jesus have for each other, you have eternal security. If you jump down to the end of chapter 10 and 25 to 33, Jesus assures us that you cannot be taken away if you belong. Because our belonging does not depend on our stickability, but on his character and care as the shepherd. Jesus is faithful to save and to keep you. And this is a life then lived in community like the Father, Son, and Spirit, one fold. And in verse 16, he lays out some very important understandings for us. He says, the knowledge of God is going to come to more than just you, Jewish people, but to the nations through Jesus, and he'll bring everyone together. And incredibly, you and me are the fruit of Jesus' words here. We are the other sheep Jesus spoke of. Jesus was of a different nationality to an Aussie, but he came to us so we can be part of his fold under his care. It's a reflection of the unity between the Father and the Son, but also a community of care because together we're safe. Together, the sheep enjoy the love and the blessing of God as they behold his glory and testify to the world of his good leadership. And we know we're secure because in verse 18, it's Jesus who has the power to raise his life. Our shepherd is the strong, authoritative one, but he's gentle. He never uses his power in the wrong way. Which means Jesus will lead gently every one of his sheep all the way through life and all the way through death because he's gone before us. He'll reach out and take us by the hand and lead us to a new pasture with him and in him in a new creation and into eternal life. The shepherd's care does not end in this life, you see. He is the gate. He is the shepherd. He is the leader. He is the boss. And do you know what that makes you and me? Sheep. Embrace the life of a sheep. Our identity in this figure of speech is simply that. You are a sheep. I am a sheep. All of us are sheep. We follow and love and serve our good shepherd, Jesus. Have you forgotten that you are a sheep? Are you embracing and learning the way of being a sheep? And of course, our risen Lord Jesus still calls and speaks today. His voice is audible. The Spirit takes the words of Scripture and he makes them words from Jesus to each of us every time we read. Our good shepherd is saying that you are known and fully loved. You are being led in life by the good shepherd. You are part of his flock of believers. You are under the authority of a powerful good God, and he genuinely has your well-being as his concern. The trouble is not with the shepherd. The trouble is with the sheep. Sheep are notoriously not good at staying put. If you find a hole in a fence, the sheep will find it too. They wander, they walk off, they get lost, they hurt themselves. How often do we operate from one moment of great devotion to Jesus, maybe on a Sunday, maybe midweek, you're all in, and then we run over here and we run over there and we think that we know better, or we might find a new pasture over there, or there's greener grass in this field, and in the process we leave behind the flock and we forget our identity and the care of the shepherd that he's secured for us. Back in 1992, I was barely walking. For those of you who are alive, you may remember the Olympic Games were held in Barcelona. And in these Olympics, Derek Redmond, mid-race, tore his hamstring. Now, I'm a runner, and that will be very painful if you run. And he fell to the floor. He could not go on. Like, he was projected to win. And then, as he's on the ground, this guy runs up to the side of him, pushes through security, jumps the fence. I'm sure he couldn't do it these days. But he gets on the track and he picks up Derek. And everyone's like, oh, that's his coach. It's his coach. But it wasn't his coach. It was his father. It was his dad. And together they hobbled through the finish. You know, no one remembers who won that gold medal in that 800-meter race, ever. They always remember Derek and his dad. You see, he finished the race because he had grit and he embraced the life of an athlete. He knew, but also because of his father. And that is exactly how we keep going too as sheep. We embrace our identity as a sheep. We aim towards the goal of knowing and glorifying God. We grow through trials and challenges as the Spirit speaks and leads, as we hear the voice of our shepherd. And we finish with him, our good shepherd, our good God and Father guiding us. The other thing sheep do is they stick together. Let me show you a picture. This is Chris. Don't be like Chris. Chris got lost and set the record for the biggest fleece of 41.1 kilograms of a sheep ever. This was not his best life, even though he broke a world record. Chris had weeks to live. The RSPCA said had he not been found, he would have become unable to move, starving, heat stress, vulnerable to predators like foxes, parasites, and fly strike. It's a miracle, they said, he survived as long as he did. Chris needed to be back in the fold. His full life was not found by being away from the shepherd. Of course, Chris was found by a random hiker who just said, "What is that?" and took a photo and alerted the authorities. But you and me have a good shepherd who seeks us out. I wonder, has the shepherd of your soul been calling to you lately? Has he been saying, "Come back"? Have you wandered from his loving rule and care? Well, if so, don't be like Chris. Come back with faith and repentance. Your good shepherd is going out to seek you, to bring you in. In fact, this care of Jesus, the great shepherd, is what we should reflect in our community. And this year, as a church, we want to focus on loving service. And we do that by two things: embracing the life of a sheep, and ironically, imitating the shepherd. Now, of course, a sheep can't be a shepherd. We do not care well by default. Loving others does not come naturally or easily. We are not the good shepherd, and none of us are anyone's savior, of course. Jesus' sacrifice is unique. His death is unique. He rose himself to life. He's the one who purchased our redemption and life. But in a strange way, every time we give, serve, love, care, we actually imitate his care to others. Every time we care, it's pointing others back to the great carer and shepherd of us all. And as we do that, the outcome, as Jesus says, is a deeper knowledge of God and our place with him. We serve to show love, and as we do, we grow in our own love of Jesus and his flock. And we serve from our identity as a sheep. Embrace the life of a sheep. So I wonder, what makes a good leader? What did you come up with? What went through your mind? Well, here, Jesus' emphasis is a good leader cares and guides to a full life. And there's no one greater than him in that respect. So, church, let's embrace the life of a sheep, hey? Let's pause and reflect on our one thing. What is it to you today that stood out, struck you? We don't just want to hear God's word. We want to be changed by it as the Spirit guides and leads us. So just take a moment, 60 seconds. What's your one thing from John 10 that you need to think over, realize, understand, disagree with, think over more? Let's take 60 seconds, write it down.